Here's Dick Vermeil.
You know, as a leader, you have to give a little bit more than you expect in return. And you have to do it unselfishly. You have to do it with great understanding and appreciation that it isn't going to be perfect. And the relationship may not always be equal in exchange, but as a leader, you've got to finish on top of that and not let your ego get in the way, because you're going to have more real positive experience than you are negative ones.
For me, let's start with Dr. Solomon and the notion of being able to manage the relationships, the buttons of each individual player. It's going to be different, as Seth talked about. Not everybody's the same. I think about, we're going to go to the subject of Jim Moran and the trust factor that he damaged a couple weeks ago. But before we do that, Dr. Solomon, with each relationship, with trust being the central factor, how do you help people develop more understanding so they can see into other people as well, understand them better, so they can make that connection in the first place?
Well, one of the most powerful ways to do that, Nick, is trying to help people get good at walking in the other person's shoes, at really seeing from the other person's point of view what their reality is, what their experience is, and that's how you really develop compassion and understanding for where the other person's coming from and can deal with them and know how to do just what Seth was talking about, how to have an individualized approach to that person that will be most powerful in getting them to perform at their best.
Seth, let's ask you about the situation with Jim Moran, how that was handled, because a lot of the things that a head coach manages are not the schemes. They are indeed not the plays. They are the press and the perception issues that can distract the players from what's happening on the field.
Well, Nick, first of all, I'm one of those people that don't really believe in distractions. I think that, you know, life happens every single day of the week. You know, you play football for three and a half hours on Sunday, and if you should be able to focus your attention for those three and a half hours and not be distracted by things that happen throughout the week and use that as a crutch or an excuse or a scapegoat for why you didn't perform. Well, at the other hand, you know, talking about what Jim Mora did, you've got 50-something guys that you're trying to get them to buy into what you're selling. For him to turn around and do what he did, he just sent the most negative of messages as he could possibly send to his team. Okay, so where's the respect factor as far as his players are concerned? And secondly, you know, what are we buying into? Are we buying into a coach that's lobbying for another job because he feels like we're not getting it done here? So now all of a sudden he's lost his team, you know, and you can call it what you want to, but he's basically, for all intents and purposes, he has lost that team, and Arthur Blank has no other option but to fire him at the end of the season.
Seth, let me ask you one more question before we get to Dr. Solomon and what players do off the field and how that can be one more factor that takes them away from ultimate success. Tony Romo. We talked with Len Dawson yesterday about Tony Romo being with Carrie Underwood. I don't care if it was 6 hours before the game. Your game cannot be focused if you're with a date, the day of the game, on the field before the game.
Well, see, I mean, there's two sides to every instance, Nick. And my thing is, if he'd have went out and had a fantastic game, nobody would have even made a big deal about it. I think sometimes too much can be read into different situations, that different players handle things differently. I mean, I know I started gearing down come Friday night, and I started locking in first thing Saturday morning for a Sunday game. That's just
nobody was going to talk to you before the game.
No, no doubt about it. But there are some guys, you know, who handle things differently. I mean, just the way that Tony Romo plays the game, Nick, is quite a bit different than most guys prepare or play the game. So I don't know. I think sometimes, you know, from a media standpoint, we like to dig into things and make more of an issue of a situation than it had to be. The truth of the matter is he didn't play well. The offensive line didn't play well. The defense didn't play well. They didn't play well on special teams. They just got their behinds handed to them, and that's it and that's that. You know, you just chalk it up as that's the situation. You go back to work this week and try to, you know, figure out a way to get this game won and hope as a team that Philadelphia loses and you win a division, worst case scenario, hey, you're still in the playoffs anyway.
Dr. Solomon, you're there in San Diego. What are some of the leadership lessons that you think Marty Schottenheimer has shown his team that's built this consistency that they've never had before?
Well, you know, it's interesting. First, Nick, you know, you were talking about distractions, and I thought it was really interesting what Seth had to say. You know, people come in here so often, married couples, and they say they're having problems because of sex, or they're having problems because of the kids or finances, and you know, or an infidelity. And what I always tell couples is the reason their relationship is in trouble is not for any of those reasons. None of those reasons can break up a marriage. The only thing that can break up a marriage, the only thing that can be a distraction, is how you deal with those issues. So it's how you deal with distractions that determines whether a player is going to perform well or not. So, you know, in San Diego here, it's really interesting. I remember when you played quite a number of years for Marty Schottenheimer, and over the years that he's been here, I think this is his fourth year, the players have talked about how he's kind of softened up, not been so hard on the players, and I think he's learned about having a more of an individualized approach. Till now, what you're starting to hear, you know, the whole town's so excited about how well the Chargers are doing and getting to the playoffs, you're starting to hear the players talk about how meaningful it would be to them and how much it's starting to become important to them to win for Coach Schottenheimer, because they feel the loyalty to him, and they see all the time on the TV and the radio and the newspapers about he's 5-12 in the playoffs and he's never won the big one. They feel the loyalty towards him because of how he's been treating them as a father figure, as a coach, as a disciplinarian sometimes, but sometimes now learning how to have a softer approach with some of the players so that they really feel that they want to give back to him and get something so he can get that monkey off his back.
One of the things they do is on Thursdays, and Seth, I'd like your comment on this, because I always feel the teams are missing this opportunity with former players. Players that may not have been able to articulate their feelings and their perceptions when they were in the middle of their careers, but with 5 and 10 and 15 years of experience looking back on the game, they can really help the players that are in the midst of the fog of war of their careers appreciate it better. Every Thursday they have Ralph Benerska and they have Tom Mix and they have former San Diego Chargers come in and talk to the team. It's low-key. They have a little barbecue after practice, but it's always about, gosh, you know, you guys need to appreciate what you've got in front of you. You need to manage it. You need to savor it. What do you think about that and what that does for a team's overall cohesion and loyalty?
Well, Nick, first of all, I think there's a twofold purpose to that. The first thing you do, you know, is you create an environment where you keep guys together beyond just practice and meetings. So everybody gets to know each other. You know the guy that you're fighting next to. You have an opportunity to form relationships. Too often on football teams, what happens is everybody comes in, they got a job, they do their job, and everybody moves on, you know, and there's no relationships formed. Well, Marty's really smart, because what he's doing is he's creating a whole lot of cohesion on his football team by bringing those guys together every Friday and doing that. The second thing, I think, is I take my hat off to him, because there's not many coaches that have the kind of confidence in having veterans around, knowing that these guys have knowledge, knowing that these guys have played the game, understand the game, can coach the game in some respect, and they're okay with having those guys around their players. Because sometimes, you know, as an ex-player, you look at the game and, you know, you feel like you've got all the answers. And I think sometimes head coaches, organizations become intimidated by that whole type of situation. But I think it's good that they do it, because, you know, they're reaching back and they're building on the tradition that they've had in San Diego. They're taking some of the knowledge that some of these players have had, some of the experiences that these veteran players have had, and they're giving these players, these current players, an opportunity to draw on those experiences to form a relationship with these guys and create a bond. A bond of tradition and a bond of history. It's really smart. It's really smart. I guarantee you that has a lot to do with, you know, obviously they're playing well, but I guarantee you that has a lot to do with why they are playing so well, because, you know, they formed a totally different attitude, you know, around that entire organization. And it's very, very apparent.
I'll tell you, one of the most meaningful experiences I had in my career Seth Joyner and Dr. Solomon, was during the annual Chiefs alumni game when the alumni players would be there right before halftime, right behind our bench. And I'd be in the middle of the game, but I'd turn around and I'd see Len Dawson and Buck Buchanan and Willie Lanier, and I'd see some of those veterans and those legendary players like Jan Stenard and all those players behind it. And it gave me a chill to think that I was part of that tradition. And I always played better. I played with a sense of commitment and focus. Dr. Solomon, what is it? What is Marty Schottenheimer tapping into that the rest of us can in our own ways?
Well, it's creating a family there in the team. I think what Seth is saying is so true. You know, it's not only the X's and O's and executing, it's your feelings about the other players that make you not want to fail them when you're on the field. And that's developed from that sense of family that Coach Schottenheimer has really developed. I know there was a small article I read about Philip Rivers. You know, he had to sit behind Drew Brees for 2 years, and the players all marveled about how he'd go around the locker room and engage all the different players while he was sitting, and they knew it was tough for him. And this offseason, Antonio Gates told the story that Philip Rivers just was always in the offseason showing up at his house, telling them they wanted to run routes, but most of the time what they did was they just hung around and shot the breeze and talked and got to know each other and really bond. And they're saying that really shows on the field, that togetherness that they have amongst all the players in wanting to be there and pick each other up.
Seth, let me ask you, some of the players on the Carolina Panthers have had such an up-and-down season, it's been mentioned on a couple other teams, that when they made the attempt, not through big speeches during meetings, but more simply saying, hey, let's go out to dinner on Thursday night, let's do things together in the middle of the season. Is that a bunch of junk, or is there something to that?
Well, I think you have to do that, Nick. I mean, almost every team that I played for, you know, Thursday night was our night to get together, whether it be as a defensive unit or everyone was invited and whoever showed. You know, when I came into Arizona, I tried to, you know, implement that thing, that sort of environment here, because God knows they needed it here more than any place that I had ever been. But I think there's something to it because, you know, guys come from different walks of life, you know. They have different belief systems. They think differently. They act differently. A lot of different things. And in order for me to play with a guy that I'm lining up next to each and every week, in order for me to understand how he thinks, in order for me to battle for him and know that he'll battle for me and understand we're in agreement and we're battling for the same thing, don't I have to have a relationship with that guy? Don't I have to know that guy? Doesn't that guy have to know who I am? So I think that in a lot of ways, sometimes you kind of grasp for straws when you're in the throes of the game and things are going bad and you're trying to figure out how to right the ship. You know, sometimes you reach for straws and you do some unconventional things, but, you know, more times than not, Nick, you know, you have to create some relationships with the guys that you play with the people that you work with, in order for you to be effective. Because now I know this guy's aiming for the same thing that I'm aiming for, and if we're all in the same boat and aiming for the same goal, then we stand a much better chance of having success than otherwise.
And that's why a TO just doesn't get that last piece of the puzzle. When we come back, final thoughts from our good friend Seth Joyner, All-Pro for many years in the NFL at linebacker, one of the toughest guys physically, but also a great leader. Some great insights into the psychology of team, of family. That's what we're going to finish with Dr. Stephen Solomon and Seth Joyner. Family, loyalty, trust, relationships. The great teams, the Packers, the 1985 Chicago Bears, the Patriots, the 17-0 Miami Dolphins, they all had it. We're going to talk about it.